want to share a message with you that I think is kind of helpful in preparing to stand against the enemy. I think it's necessary. I feel like, especially when I hear people talk about spiritual warfare, is we get things turned around. There are things that God said he would do, and we try to do them, and there are things that he tells us to do, and we tell God to do that. God, make me humble. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. You know, that kind of thing. God, make me patient. Patience comes through trials. I mean, I read that and I believe it, but it hasn't been my experience. So these are just some thoughts to help us to prepare for what's happening in the world and probably going to come with a little more intensity as this next year goes by. But I would just like to believe that we're going to prevail. Amen. So John 8:36, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be
free indeed.
Yay. Now let's try that again. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be
free indeed.
All right. Okay. In our walk with the Lord, we all have the same destination. Yes? So in this life, it's Christ-likeness, and in life to come, it'll be with Christ. So we all have that goal. But we don't all have the same starting point. I think there was an emphasis in days gone by to love the lost and abuse the pieces out of the person in the pew next to you. We're like focused on evangelism, but we can also evangelize the unbelief in the person that's already a believer. Does that make sense? We can help that person overcome, as opposed to beating them down like, I always knew there was something wrong with you. I know, always knew you weren't going to make it. I want us to be loving toward the lost, but I also want us to be loving toward one another. And so some of us were blessed with godly parents. Others, a mixture of maybe one godly parent and one not so godly parent. And still others grew up in extremely difficult circumstances, maybe weren't even with their parents. In Christ, the weak are upheld by the strong, not put down, not abandoned by them. Those of us who can give fill up that which is lacking in those who are in need, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. If somebody can't eat, then we just buy them a meal until they can. Does this make sense? And there are people that have been abused, people that have been through horrific circumstances. We need to surround that person and hold them up, like this young woman. Hold them up emotionally, hold them up spiritually in prayer. Somebody help me and say amen. I want to talk about three areas that I think Jesus wants to set us all free in. And like I said, we all have different starting points. I remember someone came to me one time and said, I don't know what's going on with this person, but I can't handle them anymore. And I said, well, maybe he's incapable. You know, there's people that are incapable of anything but just chaos because that's what they grew up in. So God wants to set us free. Let me read to you a little bit from Psalm 18. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who harms me. It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He sets me on the high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip. Those are just some, not the whole Psalm 18. It's a long one, but I just clipped those out. But he talked about trusting in the Lord. It is our capacity to trust in God that sets us free from the tyranny of the opinion of others. Okay? We don't want to be moved by what other people think. Somebody says something unkind to you, somebody says something horrible to you, they're okay to have their opinion, right? They lay a hand on you, turn the other cheek once. That's Irish grace. But the capacity to trust is a gift given to us by our parents. If our parents didn't give us that, or if it was mixed up or confused, that makes it, that's the different starting point. Does this make sense? So in Psalm 22, verse 9, the latter part of that verse, David writes, "Thou didst make me to trust what went upon my mother's breast." In other words, there's a bonding that takes place in infants that if it doesn't occur, it's hard to restore, but it can be restored with Christ. Thanks. Amen. Isn't the point that Jesus is saving us? He's restoring us. He's healing us. Yes. So again, having been born again, this capacity to trust is directed toward God. So David had a challenging childhood. I don't know if you guys are that familiar with his history in Scripture. But Samuel was sent to David's father's house, and David's father was told by the prophet, "Bring all your sons, because I'm going to choose one among them to anoint to be the next king of Israel." And all of David's brothers were invited, but he wasn't. I mean, that's rough, right? But he had you can tell from this psalm, he had an extraordinary capacity to trust God. That was something that his time with the Lord did. So personal worship, personal prayer, personal time in the Scriptures, it's all going to build you up and increase your capacity to trust. So I want to give some definition to trust that comes from a man named John Sanford, a person that I respect, a minister of the gospel and prophetic person. He wrote this list, so I don't want to claim it as my own, but I'd like you to hear it. Basic trust is the capacity to hold your heart open to others, even if wounded. Okay? Basic trust is the ability to bounce back and recover quickly when wounded. Basic trust is couched in emotional security. The heart that trusts has the capacity to say, "I'm okay." And some people act like, "Well, we're Christians. We're not supposed to do that." So, yeah, really? We're people. Basic trust is the root of true self-confidence, again, and the freedom from the tyranny of worrying about what others think of us. Basic trust is the courage to enter into the give and take of human relationships. Some people struggle with these really simple things. They need our support. They don't need to be told that they can't, you know, what they can't do. They already know what they can't do. I remember before I came to Christ, people would walk up to me and say, "Did you know you're a sinner?" I was kind of proud. Yeah, I'm good at it. Come on, you guys. Anybody else like that? Just one other person? Oh, no, Pastor, I've been good all my life. 9th commandment to you. All right. Basic trust is the ability to have a center of decision-making within oneself, not to be controlled or manipulated by others. That's huge. If you can make a good quality character choice in the face of a lot of pressure, that's because you have basic trust in God. Amen? Basic trust gives us the capacity to relate to an eternal other, spirit to spirit, with honor, dignity, and respect, opposed to pushing or pulling or manipulating. So we want to be people that can relate. Let me just color outside the typical preacher lines for a second. I want to be able to relate to a beautiful young woman like I would relate to Ken. As an eternal other, because I don't want or need anything from that person. Does this make sense? We don't want to be in a situation where we treat other people differently because of what we think we can get from them. We need this capacity of basic trust to relate to an eternal other as a child of God and not as an object. Okay? I hope I'm helping somebody. Basic trust is the capacity to have a true conscience. If I trust in God, my you know, Jiminy Cricket or whoever, let your conscience be your guide. But the ability to have a true conscience comes from trusting in God. I don't know why I'm wired this way. I didn't make myself. I'm not going to say to the potter, why did you mold me this way? I'm just going to say weird things once in a while. Basic trust is the ability to trust others with healthy boundaries. Okay? Basic trust gives us the ability to keep our hearts from judging others. I don't know if you've ever made that link, but when we trust in God, I don't have to judge anybody else because I know God's the judge. And if somebody's doing something that'll bring them under judgment, I'm called upon by God to help rescue them from those decision-making processes. Yes? Basic trust is the ability to trust God and repent knowing He has our best in heart. And some people, when they're confronted, they just get angry. But if they had basic trust, they'd go, thank you for pointing that out to me. I need to repent. That's how God wants us to respond. All right, so this list can be used as a self-diagnostic tool. I've used it myself. There's some areas that I thought, I'm doing pretty good in this area, and others I was like, whoa, I need help, Jesus. So this is just kind of a help in identifying the problem. In the beginning of the healing journey is identifying the problem, yes? So it's not a substitute for good, godly Christian counseling. It's just a diagnostic tool. So I want to say this quite simply and hopefully truthfully, I trust the Lord. I was raised by a loving mom and a loving grandma who instilled love and trust in my heart. But trusting God, though, has been a journey for me because my dad wasn't really serving the Lord. He was serving himself. And he could be a little rough on us kids. But I always had somewhere to lean. I had a reference point for what it meant to be unconditionally loved. I'm not against my dad. I love my dad. He's hopefully with the Lord now, hopefully. But he wasn't a real stable or secure person, so he didn't really give us that capacity to trust. He didn't have it to give. That's not a put down. So may I encourage you, put your full hope and trust in God. This one I've titled, Set Free from the Soft Bigotry of Low Expectations. I didn't come up with that phrase, but I'm using it again. I don't come up with that much. I don't think there's anything too original. Solomon said 3,000 years ago, there's nothing new under the sun, so I'm just going to go with that. So when the Lord speaks to us through his word, by his spirit, he speaks words of faith. Right? Because he believes that what he says is going to happen. Can you imagine before ever he created anything and, you know, he was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were there and Jesus said to his Father, I hope something happens when I speak. You can't picture that, can you? I hope this works. I'm going to give it a try. We'll see. But sometimes we approach God that way and we get kind of annoyed when he doesn't answer that prayer. And I just, it's not a put down. I mean, we're all growing in our faith, but let's not blame God. Okay? So when God spoke the sun, the moon, the stars into existence, he knew it was going to happen, and it did. And there's things, there are faith confessions that he wants us to make, that he wants us to believe with our whole heart that they're true. Can I give you some? Can I give you some examples? All right. So our hearts are tuned to what he has promised us. He expects us to fully believe that his word will be fulfilled in us too. So the Bible says that all the promises of God are yes and amen for those who are in Christ Jesus. Yes? Yes and amen means yes and so be it. It's not just a polite thing you add at the end of some prayer or statement. Let me read to you from Ephesians. Ephesians is, if it wasn't in the Bible, I would not have the confidence to say these things. Does that make sense? There's some scriptures like, yeah, I get that, but this stuff is really out there, okay? So it's Paul writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So this is God's word. Ephesians 1, 3 through 11. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We could stop there and go home and say we had church, right? Did you hear what he said? Let me make sure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we're talking to the Father now. We're talking about the Father, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Wow. It has. He already done it. Okay, that's good news. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. You thought it was your idea. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You guys are familiar with the word sanctification. It's a process of being set apart from and to. So we're being set apart from the world, the brokenness and the fallenness of this world, and set apart unto Jesus Christ, right? That has happened when we're born again. That happens in our inner man. That process is going on in our thinking, and it's going to happen with these bodies. We're getting new ones. Can't wait. I can do that because I took Advil this morning. That's reality. I need to read it to you again because I'm not sure you heard me. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You see why I said what he said, just amen and let's go home? I mean, Nathan just nailed it. So it's almost like he's prophetic or something. I don't know. Don't get too disappointed when they want to throw you in a well. I mean, you just read about Jeremiah. They're just being true to their nature. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Did you know that God accepts you right now? Because you're in Christ? That is amazing. How many of you don't accept yourself sometimes? Come on, be honest. It was like, how could anybody love? Yeah. But he does. It's amazing. In him, this is in Jesus, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. I'm going to keep reading in a second, but I want to just highlight something here. I think if we get into Christian perfectionism, we're going to never enjoy Jesus. The other extreme is a licentious, just devil may care, just do what feels good to you. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying you're serious in your walk with the Lord, but I'm just going to say flesh happens. And sometimes we do things that we shouldn't do. We think things we shouldn't think. We say things we shouldn't say. It happens. It just happens. But we have the blood of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. He's writing to the church. He's not saying, oh, you lost people, you can be forgiven. He's talking to us. It's like I told the men's group a couple weeks ago. I said, when you get up in the morning, just lean, roll over to your wife and say, I'm sorry, and get it over with. Then roll over the other way and say to the Lord, I'm sorry, I'm just front loading it here. Because I'm going to do something to both of them or either one of them at some point that day. It's going to happen. Don't look at me like that. Makes me nervous. Makes me feel like I'm the only sinner in the room. Okay, the riches of his grace, which he made abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. So there's people that have died in faith, and there's those of us that remain when Jesus returns, we're going to meet. That's going to be a great reunion, isn't it? I can't wait, but I have to. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. You notice this past tense stuff? It's done. Being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. So before you ever open your mouth and witness about Jesus, you are to the praise of his glory because Christ is in you. Faith in God says, I have what he has promised to give me. And any minor setbacks will not deter me from my goal, which is Christ-likeness. True success isn't having a bunch of stuff. It's not the American dream. True success is Christ-likeness. But I like my stuff, so... Here's the thing. When we coddle weakness in ourselves or our children, we are telling them to embrace the weakness and not shed it. So remember, set free from the soft bigotry of low expectations. We don't want to be that. We don't want to be that in ourselves when we go, well, I can't help myself or whatever the line is. Don't say that. Just say, Lord, please forgive me and give me the strength to do better next time. When we, as believers, embrace our weakness, the weakness of our carnal nature, we are saying to the Lord, what you have done on the cross and all your promises are not enough. I don't want to be caught saying that to Jesus. Everything that Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote to the church in Ephesus is ours. All this stuff belongs to you. And that's just one passage, one little passage. Let me give you an example of the soft bigotry of low expectations, because I think it's a horrible facade for racism in this hour. Okay. Minorities can't vote if they're required to produce ID. Have you heard that? Minorities can't vote if they're required to produce identification. Who's the bigot? I've never met a minority that I thought was that stupid. No, I'm just being blunt. They're smart. And if we keep going the way we are, we'll be the minorities, and then we can say, what? My driver's license? It drives me crazy. That's the works of bigots who only desire to manipulate people that they view as less than. We're all equal. If, you know, this is the thing. If they're going to call us names. I'm going to call them now. I'm not going to do that, but we get called names of the things that they do. So when the enemy lies to you and he tells you you're not going to make it, he's just projecting onto you his reality. He's not going to make it. Turkey. Snake. I'll be biblical. So I want to say I love my dad for many reasons, and it's in this category. When we go fishing or hunting or scuba diving, which we did almost every weekend, he'd often tell me, now, Paddy is the way the Irish say Pat. He'd say, Paddy, you can do anything you set your mind to. And I thank him for that. Didn't give me so much to trust in, but he gave me that, okay? I bought my first house when I was 19, and everyone told me I couldn't, because I had that message playing in my head. I can do it, because I set my mind to it. Let me say to parents, don't put limits on your children. Expect them to climb and to ascend the hill of the Lord and to be all that God wants them to be. Help them to reach their full potential in whatever God's called them to do. That's what our Heavenly Father does for us. He doesn't sit there and beat us up because we failed. He says, I got something better for you. Come on, let's go. Can I read some more promises to you? Thanks. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So that's powerful. If he loved us so much, he gave us Jesus when we were his enemies, how much more will he with him freely give us all things? Expect more. I mean, it's not pride, or it's not, if God wants you to believe for everything that he's promised. Keep reading? Okay. And raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's as high as you get, right? You hear these guys on YouTube or wherever you watch your information, hopefully not TikTok, but wherever you watch your information, and you get this, you know, somebody saying, I've finally made it to third heaven authority. I'm like, where have you been? Since you were born again, you've been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Right? Have you ever noticed we do funny things? Who's higher, God or Satan? God? Everybody pray? Everybody do spiritual warfare? And we live our lives getting stuff backwards. I got something to say to you, enemy. Because the Bible says he will soon crush Satan under our feet. So if you want to send him a note, post it on the bottom of your shoe. Don't look like this. He's not up. You're above. You're in Christ. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look down. He gets us all. Oh, man. I'll tell you what. He's a good liar. He's a good thief. He's a good murderer, if there's such a thing. The enemy. Let me keep reading. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. In other words, it's not about us. Heard that earlier too. It's not about us. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works.
Oh, brother, I don't have to do works anymore. I'm not under the law.
Okay. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. There's all kinds of cool stuff that we can do, like pack boxes for kids that aren't going to have anything this Christmas. I've been overseas and I've seen poverty like you can't imagine. And when I used to always carry those, what are those watermelon, those hard candies? Jolly Ranchers, yeah, I used to, half my luggage was not clothes, it was Jolly Ranchers. You could go out with Jolly Ranchers and you could get hundreds of kids around you for a Jolly Rancher and then talk to them about Jesus, the love of God. It was great. There are things that God has prepared for you to do that he saw you doing before the world was made. We serve a big God. Your mission, should you decide to accept it, is to discover his specific will for your life and walk it out. And yes, it's an impossible mission without the Holy Spirit. All right? But in him, all things are possible. In fact, somebody really important named Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible for him that believes. He'll supply that which you're lacking in the midst of following him. How many of you drove here today? All of you, right? If you sit there and don't start your car and you grab that steering wheel and you try to make the car turn and you get mad at the car because it won't turn, because it's not moving. So take a few steps in faith and then watch God just meet you. Final point. This one might be a little tough, but I've titled it Set Free from the Destructiveness of a Broken Imagination. 2 Corinthians 10:3-6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I have heard this verse 4 especially. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. We pull down every demonic principle. That's not what it's talking about. It is not talking about that. What is it talking about? Thank you for asking. Now, I've read to you from the New King James, which says casting down arguments. The arguments is logismo. You know the word logos. If you combine it with the word theos, it becomes theology. It's the study or reasoning about God. That's what that word means. So logismo is a derivative of that. It has to do with reasoning, imagination, and thoughts. The first thing God wants us to rule over is that. So when you fall asleep, you can sleep peacefully and restfully because you're not going to be tormented by bad dreams. He wants to give that to you. Do I have that every night? Almost. I didn't used to. I used to dream about all kinds of weird stuff. You want to hear one of my really, 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 really bad dreams? That I had to go to the bathroom at some point in the middle of the night when I was asleep and none of the public restrooms was clean. That's a big deal to me. So now you know. You could say, his bad dreams are horrible. I'm glad mine aren't that bad. Stronghold is an old military word for fortress. So these are the fortresses we're demolishing, right? We're demolishing reasonings and imaginations and thoughts that are exalting themselves against the knowledge of God in us. Amen? Our weapons are not carnal. They're not dependent upon our volume. I pull down every thought. I don't need to yell. I don't even need to say anything out loud. That can happen internally. Nope, not going to think that. Not going to let that bird build that nest. Every high thing, it means an elevated place or thing or barrier. It's the thing that's blocking the presence of God from infiltrating every part of our thought life. Pull it down. Exalteth is epero. It means to raise up, exalt. So these are things that are resisting the knowledge of God. So bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Not to the best you can do, to the obedience of Christ. Amen. 100%, I just wanted to use that word for a minute. This is dealing with the brokenness of our thought life. We're all born lost. We all have brokenness in our thought lives. We all have different starting points to the level of that brokenness, but get on the train. Jump on the victory wagon or whatever you want to call it. His transforming presence in us requires our cooperation to pull down the unhealthy thinking of our carnal nature. See, that prophecy came earlier about God saying he can't help us without invitation, right? I'm summarizing. That's true. He can do anything he wants to. Okay, let's get that out of the way. We understand that about God. But he wants our cooperation. He wants to work in us by us saying, come Holy Spirit. Come, Father. Come, Jesus. Come and transform us into the image of Jesus. Amen? The mind of Christ invades our broken thinking and imaginations and begins to demolish those fortresses of thoughts in our minds. I don't know how this is going to resonate with other people. I don't believe Christians can be possessed, but I can believe they can be oppressed and that the enemy has access to oppress us through the brokenness of our impure thoughts. So that's why we need that victory, yes? I'm not saying it per se, I've got it, I wish you guys would get on board. I'm saying this is the journey we're all on. Think about Jericho. You know the story of Jericho? God's strategy for defeating Jericho was unique. Walk around the city and don't say anything. It was only the men, you can tell, because walk around the city for 6 times and don't say anything. I'm trying to get even with Susan still.
Brother, that's toxic masculinity. Okay.
I'm laughing at myself. Okay. The seventh time they shouted, but it wasn't that shout. I've been hearing people lately. Let me just do one little rabbit trail because there's some weird stuff online these days. They had the right frequency. Don't go New Age. There's a frequency in the prophetic. It's all this stuff that's out there online, and it's New Age. Don't buy into that, okay? It wasn't the frequency. I don't even know if they were all in the same note. But they shouted, and God pushed the walls down into the ground. God did it. Not the frequency. I got to say this. I heard this one guy preaching, and he goes, You know how Jesus could walk through walls after he rose from the dead? Because he knows the frequency of all things. I call him Mr. Frequency. I call you Mr. Stupid. Drives me nuts. We got to redeem everything. No, that's universalism. The devil's going to hell. I can't do anything to help him, and nor am I going to try. Okay. Where was I? Rabbit trail number. Yeah, I know. I'm just teasing. It took the power of God to pull down the walls of Jericho. No more frequencies. Here we go. I'm going to close now. Are you guys happy? I know they're happy downstairs. They won't be having to scream anymore. I want you to think about this. When will you be able to help others? Once your obedience is complete. Okay? So notice verse 6 in 2 Corinthians 10. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. If you try to help somebody out and you're struggling with the thing they're struggling with, you're going to struggle with it more. Right? I mean, I know those of you that are working in recovery, if you're still struggling with addiction, you're going to have a hard time helping someone else, and their problem is going to start to be your problem. That's just truth. So, you know, this put it in the guy category here. If someone's struggling with lust and an online issue and you're trying to help them out and you haven't dealt with it yourself, you're gonna go down that hole. So here's the thing. God wants us to be free. If you're not free in a particular area and you know it, just admit it and just ask God for help, but don't try to help somebody else in that area until you are. I'm just giving you advice to help you on your journey because, I mean, these are all common problems, right? This is all stuff that everybody deals with at some level, at some point. And I'm just going to leave it there. When we have been set free, we are being set free. Excuse me, I said it wrong. We have been set free. We are being set free. We will be set free. So in the areas that where we can say, I've been set free, now I can help somebody else in that area. I can fill up that which is lacking in that person. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to be a group of people. I believe in that. I don't know when it's going to start. It's trying to start, but there's coming a great revival and a great harvest. And I think that's what I'm saying. I think we need to up our prayer game a little bit. But people are going to come in, and they're going to come in with a boatload of problems. And we want to be able to help them. I don't want to be struggling with some simple thing and then not be able to help somebody else because I'm still bound by it. Does this make sense? If I'm still bound by it, I'm not condemning anyone. I'm saying admit it and say, God, please deliver me. Please help me. I don't care if you have to pray that 1,000 times, that maybe 1,001 it's going to work. But does this make sense? So we're not getting into that guilt. We have this ministry of guilt, condemnation, and woe. We're saying we have this ministry of grace. God set me free so I can help someone else get free. Amen. And sometimes the hardest person to believe for is the one that's the closest to you. But faith doesn't discriminate, right? Would you bow your heads?